So God speaks to Joseph. Joseph is at the center of this gospel. It's his last appearance, and in the scriptures, and he hears God speaking to him, and it's always in a dream. You know, when God speaks to us in our lives, he tends to use a certain method with each individual. One question we might ask ourselves is, how exactly does God speak to me? We have the scriptures. Do I listen? What part of the scripture might have influenced you in those beautiful readings that we heard, or through the church teaching, through the people that we know in church, at home, in school? And God works through all these ordinary circumstances. With Joseph, it's a dream. You keep thinking, with the great assignment that Joseph had to be the foster father of the Son of God, you would think that God would have a more direct way of speaking to Joseph, but he doesn't. He has the humility to accept a dream. His wife saw an angel at least once, but Joseph, it's a dream. And dreams are not something we normally use to guide our lives. Sometimes they indicate things within us. But with Joseph, this is how God consistently speaks. And it's Joseph that's leading his family, both down to Egypt, and then God calls him out of Egypt. There's a great theological significance to this for us, that we are at times sent off to Egypt in exile. The Pope talked about, in his message to the world on December 26th, about the persecuted church in Egypt and in Syria, and refugees and human trafficking throughout the world, that the Lord was one of these people. You know, most of us have not had to go through this kind of thing in open persecution or being a refugee. But they find, when they talk to the Lord, that the Lord has been this, has done this, and God permitted this. He didn't have to, but he did. When we go into exile in Egypt, it's something that we can't control, that God permits. We are hauled off with an illness, or something goes wrong with our family. There's always something that's difficult, or lose our job, or something happens, and suddenly we've gone off to Egypt in exile. So Joseph goes to Egypt, and then he calls his son and his daughter out of Egypt and rescues us. But there's this period of exile where God is speaking through a crisis. The Holy Family has a crisis in this reading. So they go off to Egypt. Now, Egypt is not what we think. It's not Moses. Moses was 1,000 years earlier. Egypt is a cosmopolitan city. It was the wealthiest until the Romans conquered it. The wealthiest state around the Mediterranean. And each city had an enclave of Jewish residents. The Jews were spread out throughout the Roman Empire, and especially in Alexandria, which is where the Septuagint would be translated in the next century into the Jewish Old Testament, and what they used for their scriptures in Greek, and then St. Jerome used that for the basis of the first Latin Bible. So Joseph was going to a place with a lot of Jews, but still he had to ply his trade amongst others, to live among strangers, and most of all, God, he had to wait for God to speak to him again when to come home. And the years dragged on, didn't they? And we think, if you are the Son of God, why did you have to go into Egypt? Wasn't there a better way? You know my better way is, Lord, let's just bump off Herod. Isn't that easier? Why wait for Herod to die? Isn't God in control of this? But Herod had his own timeline, his own life to live. This was very consistent of Herod to be suspicious. He murdered most of his own family because he thought they were going to usurp his throne. So Joseph had good reason to be afraid. The wise men had stopped in, this is next week's reading, and asked directions at Herod's palace. So Herod got the wind up. Somebody thinks someone else is king in my country. And didn't God, who guided them by the star, couldn't he have guided the wise men away from Herod so he wouldn't have heard about Jesus? But it was God's will that the Holy Family actually go through this. And so we see that when we go through these periods in our lives, we know that somehow God is with us, that we too will at times go into exile when there could have been an easier way and God could have allowed something to happen sooner. I had 30 years of laryngitis. I found out what was causing it. But I said, Lord, what took you so long? Why 30 years of doctoring? But again, it's the Egypt thing. It's something that they had to do and we have to do. But God is with us on the journey and speaks to us along the way. And when Joseph comes back, it says they settled in a town called Nazareth. Probably, you know, Mary was, tradition tells us, she was from Nazareth. So he was going to a place where his wife had relatives and friends. Joseph was apparently not from Nazareth. And they go back there. Nazareth was considered to be a very backwater town. It was not a place you'd brag about having been from. You know, even after Christ rose from the dead and the early church, Nazareth was a derogatory term among people, non-believers. You know, in the scriptures you have somebody asking, he's from Nazareth, can any good come from that town? It's kind of like if you lived around here, what would be the town that people would think, can anything good come from there? Last night, somebody out in the congregate, this morning, somebody said, Jervis. I said, I wouldn't use that word, but around here. But it's kind of like saying, the Messiah's from Jervis. People not from this area say, Jervis, where the heck's that? Can he pick Portland or Salem or Tillamook? So anyway, after this incident, except for the finding in the temple, the curtain closes on the Holy Family for 30 years. Somewhere in there, Joseph dies. What kind of life did Jesus have, and why is that important for us? Jesus had an ordinary life. His father died somewhere along the way. He had to be the breadwinner. He was the one supporting the family. We don't know when Joseph died. That's why he's the patron saint of a holy death. Jesus could have saved him, but he didn't. It was God's will. It was his time. Jesus learned a trade from Joseph. Joseph taught him what we call carpentry, was working with building materials. There's not much wood in the Holy Land. He would have worked with clay and stone and building things. He would have been a well-built man. And this is what he did. His formation for his ministry was to work with his hands, to work with other men, to support his family, to relate to his relatives. And Jesus had problems with his relatives. Did you know that? How do I know that? He told me. In the scriptures, Jesus is preaching, and one of his relatives, the scripture says, and his relatives came to get him. They thought he was out of his mind. Jesus lived such an ordinary life that his immediate relatives around him in Nazareth didn't have a clue as to what he really could do. So he was formed by complex family relationships, by working with his hands, with his father's death, with being in exile, with going to Nazareth and living an ordinary life. And this is exactly what we're called to do in our families. We have relationships with people at church, people at school, people we work with, family, friends, neighbors, problematic people. If not a day goes by, I run into something that bugs me. And this is all part of God's plan. This is the plan for Jesus. This is where we are working out our salvation. Here, the challenges, such as what Jesus faced, are part of our formation because the whole point of earth is to get ready for the next world. We're not here to find a comfort zone. We're here to be challenged. And Jesus himself, you know, people looked at this is the Messiah. He has to go running off into exile. Are you really the Son of God? You had born in a stable. And then when Jesus is dying, you see the same powerlessness. Are you really the Son of God? Can't you even come off your own cross? But you see how God is speaking to us there. We're the ones on the cross we can't get off. We're the ones that go into exile. We're the ones with ordinary lives hidden in a backwater town called Nazareth. I almost said Kaiser. We're not a backwater, but we're hidden, at least till this building is finished. Jesus would have been right at home with the construction workers here. If he were walking around, he'd probably get updated on the latest techniques, give them a few divine tips on how to improve our building. But you know where he would be? He'd be right over there. Because that's what he did. We forget this was important to God. Our lives are important to God. Our families are what form us. It's the nucleus of the furnace of holiness that we all have to go through. One way or another, we're formed by relationships. So in this day dedicated to the Holy Family, we are grateful to God that we are a part of the family of Jesus and that he is a member of our family. At our table in heaven, where all of us are gathered together in family groups, I think we'll be in one table at the same time, Jesus will be there with us because he is our brother and we are his family as well.